for Father, please draw me near.
Oh, How God Loves You, Part 2.
I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing.
There are those who would argue that some of those scriptures are made expressly for certain people in the Bible, but I contend that Jesus showed us a key to that. When Jesus walked the earth and John the Baptist was here, everything points to that moment in time when Jesus died and rose again. He died for our sins. He went down into the depths and broke the prisoners free. But before he did that, he was walking the earth, and he said this about John the Baptist. He said,
"Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
Matthew chapter 11.
In other words, everyone in Christ, the least in Christ, is greater than he. From that time forward, the least of everyone who is in the kingdom of heaven, who is his, who are his, because of him, the least of us is greater than John the Baptist, because at that time John the Baptist was still in the age of before Christ. So understand that who you are when you are in Christ, you are greater than John the Baptist. Because of Christ, our sins have been washed away and are continually washed, the Bible says. In John, it's a continuous washing because of Christ. Doesn't make us able to just keep on sinning. No, because we love him, so we strive to obey him. If we love him, we will obey him, the Bible says. So it doesn't mean we're perfect. We do mess up, we stumble, but our hearts are seeking to keep growing towards him. It is that energy that is pushing always towards him. That's what we have gained because we are in Christ. So, as a Christian, you have been washed of your sins. You are given a ring of authority, a robe of righteousness.
But the Father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet."
Luke chapter 15.
That's always been so hard for me to believe, that I wear a robe of righteousness. It just seems so I just don't feel worthy of it, to be wearing a robe of righteousness. But that's what Christ did.
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
Ephesians chapter 1.
That's what his love for us does. He came down, he died on the cross for you and for me to wash us of our sins and to give us a ring of authority and a robe of righteousness. And we walk this planet today as Christians, as his ambassador, the Bible says.
We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Beautiful are the feet that carry the words of the gospel, that we are a different creation because of him. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because of what Christ gave us. So understand your position in Christ. It's not something to get a big head over or anything. But you do need to walk in the victory that Christ gave us, in the love and the victory. And when you mess up and the enemy tries to beat you up for it, you just say out loud. Cars are great for this, by the way. Nobody can hear you. But you just command that spirit away from you, especially when it's vague. The Holy Spirit will always kind of ring our spiritual bell whenever we do something specifically wrong. We know it, and we need to correct it. We need to repent. But the enemy comes at us always vaguely. You can always tell. It's a vague kind of condemnation. You just rebuke it. Christ died for us that we could walk in that victory.
To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair.
Isaiah chapter 61.
And we always ever push to be with him, but it's out of love. But in order to have that, you need to understand, you need to accept, you need to drink in how much he loves you. And that's so hard for so many of us. God loves us so much, and that's why that Bible is there, that we would know Him. It's important to know who He is, to know this all-powerful being that loves us so much. Did you ever think? It says in the Bible that all of creation groans for His coming, the coming of Christ. And if we, as ambassadors, are walking near any kind of created life, you're walking by your trees, you're in a forest atmosphere, your surroundings or anything, you know, get out of the buildings, the city, the concrete. Go to where everything is as created by God, in the settings that God created, or even just a tree in the middle of the city. That living tree, I think, can sense the Christian. I think we are lights that are walking around on this planet because we have the gospel in us. Hopefully we are spreading it around like salt, the flavor of salt. We flavor the world. We are a light on the world. Creation senses us. We are a whisper of He's coming to all of creation. Animals, trees, grasses, plants, they sense it in some way. There's other scriptures about the clapping and the singing. Creation is waiting for Christ to return. And we are ambassadors of Christ. I think they sense it. I do. I think there's even some kind of spiritual understanding in all of creation. When you, a Christian, loved by God, shining His light, even if you're just walking in the wilderness, humming a song of praise, I think you are blessing all of creation around you. The trees, the plants, the rocks welcome you because you are. If sin pollutes the world, if the land somehow is absorbing the sins, there's scriptures that have that description as well. Then think of how the land, the earth, environment feel when the Christian comes through. And I know ones who have rejected God and are worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. That is a darkened mind and missing the whole point. You might be longing to be one with the creation, but you're going about it the wrong way and you're missing it. You want to get close to creation? You want to get close? Then recognize who our God, the Father of heaven and earth, all power and glory are His. He loves you. In fact, there's a song that says, "It's all about you, Jesus." You know what Jesus would say? No. It's all about you. I mean, yes, it's about Jesus Christ. To us, the believer, it is all Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ was about God coming down to you. His words, His thoughts, His pearl of great price is you. It is you. And you've got so many of your problems, so many of the shadows on your heart, so many of the baggage that you carry around with you. Those burdens, that's what's meant by give Him those burdens. Let Him shine His light on it. Let His love just rock your world and come through you, because that's what His heart is. You are His heart. You are from the top of your head to the tips of your toes. God loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done. Some people get mad because I say even Hitler, if he would have repented, I think that's a lot of people have a hard problem with this. The most evil people on the planet, if they would repent, if they would say, "Lord, I'm sorry, help me, change me, turn me around," they have that opportunity. I don't know if many of them ever did. Hopefully they did, because hell is for a long time. But God loves you, and you don't understand the depth of it or the breadth of it. It's something that can't be contained in this three-dimensional world. It can't. It's huge. And the knowledge of it, the knowing of it, it's more real than this planet. It's more real than what you can see here. I think that maybe that's why. Maybe. I don't know. But maybe that's why God says that if you won't believe the prophets, if you won't... I think it was Lazarus. He said, "Lord, let me go up and tell my brothers about this reality of death, because they won't believe your prophets, or they don't believe on their own." And God said to him, if they won't believe the prophets, if they won't believe my word, if they won't believe, I don't know, he had a list, they're not going to. And the reason they're not going to is because His love is more real than this world. It is. It's huge. There are men in this planet that have rejected Him, that don't want to hear Him. I've talked to people that are just so determined. They won't hear. They don't want to see. They purposely close their own eyes, you know, and then maybe on a rare occasion, one of them will say, okay, I will say, "Lord, okay, show yourself to me." And they're like, okay, I didn't hear anything. Well, you know what? Those people have spent years and years and years telling God he doesn't exist, saying to themselves and convincing themselves and blinding themselves and deafening themselves, layers upon layers upon layers. They need to backtrack a little bit. They need to seek him, and they would find him, giving God a 2-second opening to show himself. I'm sorry, do you see the arrogance of that? God has given so much. He has done so much. His Holy Spirit is here. His Holy Spirit shouts his name in creation if you just sit and... I mean, I sit on the beach and it's just everywhere. You can sense him. Whenever you go into a... maybe that's why I love walking in the wilderness so much. Is I can just sense him everywhere. But he's in the prison cells. He's in the places of... Even if you strip everything away that he is naturally made, if you take it all away and you're in an 8x8 prison cell, he is there. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But the most important place for him to be is in you. So if you don't know him, if you haven't asked him into your life, oh my goodness, ask him and then focus and concentrate and drink up how much he loves you. Because if you don't get an inkling of how much he loves you, how can you spread that love to anybody else? It's the milk. It's the difference between milk and meat that the Bible talks about. You need that milk. You need that sweet, sweet water, the living water of God, to just flood your world and just absorb it. Cleanse out all the garbage that you've accumulated over these years and just walk with him. And yeah, we'll get our feet dirty every once in a while. I think that's why it's important for us. And Jesus said to wash each other's feet. Confess to one another the things that we do wrong. Shine a light on all of it and just get it out of the way. Because his love will just... All the things that you've tried to change about yourself, all the things that you've tried to give up or stop doing, or... Oh, we all have different things that cripple us or bug us. Things about other people that bug us. Anything in the world that bugs us. He can just flow through us. Colors seem to be brighter. It's just, oh, the Lord loves you so much. And Max Lucado once wrote something that I've always loved, and I'm going to close with this, including the prayer at the end. Anybody who wants to become a Christian, all you got to do is ask and then seek him. He's there. There's nobody. I mean, look at Paul. Paul of Tarsus used to be Saul. I don't know if you know the Bible story, but Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he started out persecuting Christians, hunting us down, looking for us to put into prison, probably to torture, or at least, I mean, we were very persecuted in those days. Many of us were killed. I don't know how far Paul went into that, but he was on that road when Jesus came to him, revealed himself to him, turned him around. And he walked away from all of that. So a man who was set on murdering Christians, possibly murdered thousands of us, some believe, it's never too late for anybody. There's nothing you could have done in your life that would change any of this, that God would stop loving you. While we were sinners, yet he loved us. While you sinned, yet he loves you. It is written. It is the truth. So this is from Max Lucado, and I just love this. Quote, Jesus had a choice. He could have stayed in the carpentry shop. He could have kept his mouth shut. He could have ignored the call or at least postponed it. He could have come back as a man in another era when people would listen better. He could have come back when crosses were out of style, but his heart wouldn't let him. If there was hesitation on the part of his humanity, it was overcome by the compassion of his divinity. His divinity heard the voices. His divinity heard the hopeless cries of the poor, the bitter accusations of the abandoned, the dangling despair of those who were trying to save themselves. And his divinity saw the faces, some wrinkled, some weeping, some hidden behind veils, some obscured by fear, some earnest with searching, some blank with boredom. From the face of Adam to the face of the infant born somewhere in the world as you read these words, he saw them all. And you can be sure of one thing. Among the voices that found their way into that carpentry shop was your voice. Your silent prayers uttered on tear-stained pillows were heard before they were said. Your deepest questions about death and eternity were answered before they were asked. And your direst need, Your need for a Savior was met before you ever sinned. And not only did He hear you, He saw you. He saw your face aglow the hour you first knew Him. He saw your face in shame the hour you first fell. The same face that looked back at you from this morning's mirror looked at Him, and it was enough to kill Him. He left because of you. He laid His security down with His hammer. He hung tranquility on the peg with His nail apron. He closed the window shutters on the sunshine of His youth and locked the door on the comfort and ease of anonymity. Since He could bear your sins more easily than He could bear the thought of your hopelessness, He chose to leave. It wasn't easy. Leaving the carpentry shop never has been. That was Max Lucado. Jesus said, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." God's answer to Jesus was to drink of that cup, for there was no other payment for our sins. Buddha didn't pay it. A vague God of the universe can't circumvent it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Because you see, God loves you, but before that He is holy and He cannot mix with sin. It's as though your dad is a judge and you are brought before him guilty of a speeding ticket. You think you've got it beat. Dad won't convict you. He loves you. But the judge proclaims you guilty, for He is just. And then He reaches in His back pocket, pulls out His wallet, and pays your fine Himself. You have a choice. You can refuse your Father's payment and suffer the consequences, but the fine for our sins is death. Jesus already paid that price, but you have to accept it. You have to receive it. The choice is yours, and all eternity is riding on your decision. So many will not accept that we sinned. Haven't you ever been angry when someone cuts you off on the freeway? Did you react? That reaction is not the nature of God. The standard is not man's nature, it's God's. And the Bible says we all fall short. There is none that is righteous, no, not one. God doesn't want us walking around in shame. He wants to forgive us and help us become who He created us to be by His Spirit. All we have to do is come as we are, accept Him, and turn from our sins. He knows we will fail at times, but to press on. Jesus is faithful to wash away sins that we may be righteous and holy. The apostles knew this, and they would not have gone on to suffer and die painful deaths for a lie. God's passion is truly for you. So if you're willing to turn your life completely over to Him, if you are, then just pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I know I have sinned. I believe Jesus died for me. I ask for your forgiveness right now. I choose to turn from my rebellion against you. Jesus, please come into my heart and take over my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to serve you. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. It's hard to believe that's all it takes. But if you're sincere, and God knows if you're struggling with belief, He will help your belief. Remember when doubting Thomas, he doubted Jesus. And Jesus just said, "Touch my hands, touch the wounds." That's paraphrased. Jesus didn't rebuke him for not believing it was Him. He just said, "Touch me, see me, here I am. Come to me." Anyway, that's it. I feel like the Lord has been pressing me for days to talk about His love for you. So many people don't understand it. I hope that helped. I really procrastinated on this because I mean, who am I to say any of these things? There's so many good pastors and people who say this so much better than I do, but He kept pressing me, and so there it is. So, God's love, that's all I know. That's all that I know that's important. The Bible is amazing. I cannot believe what our public schools are teaching about the Bible. They make it so cold. I couldn't believe what a professor sent me over Facebook, actually. And those professors, or their papers that they write, have their students read. Oh, I just grieve if you're a student, if you're young and you don't understand. Teachers will teach you so much garbage as fact. The premises that he had to build on were just made up. He had some guy who claimed he was a Hebrew scholar. Well, Hebrew was lost years ago, and I don't think anybody understood Hebrew better than Paul, who, of course, spoke Greek, but he also spoke Hebrew in those days, in the days of Jesus Christ. So how is anybody in the 1800s or the 1900s going to contradict or disagree when Paul, who was taught by the best scholars in his time, he had no problem with it? You can't twist those words. You can't have a better authority than the scholars of those exact days, who understood the dialect, who understood the slang language better than anybody. Everybody keeps trying to twist everything all up. They didn't have a problem with it. They died for it. God sent his prophets. He sent his disciples. He sent his son, that you and I would know who he is. You can trust him. God is so good. God bless you. I pray he give you, just flood you with peace today. And I just pray, anybody who hears this, I just pray that he just bless your socks off, even in the hard times that it looked like our country is going to be going into. Because if you have the strength and the victory of God flowing from you, the external elements and circumstances, oh, they can't touch this. God bless and keep you. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua Mashiach's name. Sweet.